I am a huge fan, as many of you know, of Dr. Benjamin Carson. Dr. Benjamin Carson grew up in poverty in Detroit, single mom, and illiterate mom. She did not know how to read, but her children did not know that she didn't know how to read. And she knew what was important in life, and that is getting her kids educated and growing up with the right values. So she would require her sons to read 2 books a week and prepare book reports for her, which she pretended to read. That is the start of the life of young Ben Carson, who grew up to become the chief of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins University. He's rapidly becoming a household name, especially after his National Prayer Breakfast speech last month, alongside President Obama and Vice President Biden and the First Lady. He spoke yesterday with Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, and she asked him, he has now come under attack. He's given a series of speeches and public addresses, and now the kind of really personal, venomous attacks that are seemingly reserved for African Americans who express conservative beliefs came out. And Dr. Carson, utterly unfazed by it all. Here's Megyn Kelly's first question about racial attacks by an MSNBC commentator on Dr. Carson for his political beliefs.
Most recently, a commentator on a rival network said you've been embraced because you're smart and helpful in assuaging white people's guilt, and went on to say that you're enjoying the GOP's version of affirmative action because then people will get to put a bumper sticker on their car saying, how can I be racist? I would have voted for Dr. Carson. Your thoughts on the attacks on you?
Well, you know, if you don't have anything useful to say, then you attack people. You know, if you feel that your house of cards has been discovered and is starting to come unravel, you become very desperate. You know, intelligent people tend to talk about the facts. They don't sit around and call each other names. That's what you can find on a third grade playground. And this is something that we need to move beyond in this country. And let's have a real discussion about the real facts. If somebody disagrees, let's talk about why they disagree. Let's talk about the pros and cons. Let's see if we can find some accommodation. But to sit around and act like third graders is non-productive.
First of all, he strikes just the right tone, measured, reasonable, above the fray. I'm going to get into the fray with the commentator Ture here from MSNBC for a moment. He uses the phrase affirmative action. For Dr. Benjamin Carson? No, Ture. Benjamin Carson reached the pinnacle of his field, the top of the field, pediatric neurosurgery. Heads that division at one of the nation's eminent universities, okay? He wasn't a community organizer who became a backbench legislator before working out a political deal to rise to the U.S. Senate in Illinois. This is a guy who labored, who studied, who worked incrementally, who's authored over 100 publications in his field. How dare you use that phrase to try and dismiss his accomplishments? Anyway, back to Megyn Kelly and Benjamin Carson. She followed up that question about the about what she calls racial prejudice from the left side of the political spectrum.
Do you think that the people who just dismiss you as a token have a prejudice of their own?
Oh, well, there's no question. They feel that if you look a certain way, then you have to stay on the plantation. You know, I've heard some people refer to me as an Uncle Tom. Well, obviously, they don't know what an Uncle Tom is, because if they need to read Harriet Beecher Stowe's novel, Uncle Tom's Cabin, you'll see that he was very, very subservient, kind of go-along-to-get-along type person. Obviously, that's not what I'm doing. And what the left frequently does, and some aspects of the right, too, is they try to make life so unpleasant for anybody who disagrees with them that people will keep silent. And I know that it's working, because so many people come up to me and say, thank you for having the courage to express this. This is the same way I feel. But most people won't speak up. I'm trying to get people to speak up, because you know, this country is changing into something else. And we need to make sure that we really want it to change into something else and not just end up there and ask ourselves, how do we get there?
Okay, there's something very special about this man. I have been watching people in politics for a long, long time. And the combination of gifts that Benjamin Carson is bringing to public life is extraordinarily rare. And he is saying something that the nation needs to sit back and listen to. And we're beyond just politics here. He's talking about America's culture, America's direction, America's trajectory. This guy is on to something. And again, Ben Carson has been speaking out for 20 years. Only now are some people beginning to understand how extraordinary this guy is. But he understands how the game is played. And Megyn Kelly, you know, delved into what she calls the political mentality of victimhood. That on the political left, they want to promote, you know, the sense that you're a victim of someone else's success. You're poor because someone else is rich. You're a failure because someone else is a success, etc. And Dr. Carson said, yep, been there, done that, heard that.
Most people who get attacked in this country, whether it's, you know, cable news people or doctors or what have you, they get attacked because they're considered a threat. I mean, if you were not effective in your message, they would dismiss you. But you have been a very effective messenger of the ideals that you have. And one of them has been, as I mentioned, this belief that in this country we are more and more veering toward viewing ourselves or our own bad luck or our own bad decisions as victims. We, you know, it's not our fault. We're just victims, and we need to blame somebody else for it, and then we need somebody else to help us out of this situation.
And that's correct. And as I've said many times, and by the way, I should mention the things that I've been talking about are things that I've been talking about for 20 years. So people who want to call me names now, they need to go back and look at what I was saying when they were saying that I was a wonderful person and a hero, because they didn't know, or they thought that I agreed with them. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the whole problem is that we've allowed certain segments to divide our society up and to make us all into enemies. And of course, a house divided against itself cannot stand, but they derive their power from division. They derive their relevance from division. And I'm very much hoping that the American people will actually wake up and see who the real problem is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when you are willing to accept a fight like that, you need to have as your leader, as your spokesman, someone who is very even-tempered, someone who is not going to be easily provoked. It's one of the things that many people loved about President Reagan is that, you know, he had been a union president in California when there were lots of threats coming from the left and other places. And he basically learned to deal with these divisions without losing his cool. Megyn Kelly goes on to talk about, you know, what is for some bizarre reason taboo for a lot of people to talk about, and that is single parent households in this country. And she asked Dr. Carson about that.
But why is this not discussed more?
Because it's become politically incorrect to do so. You know, every lifestyle is now supposed to be equivalent. You know, we're doing basically the same things that the Romans did before the collapse of the Roman Empire, when the great wise men with their long white beards would wax eloquently on every subject. And nothing was right, nothing was wrong, everything was relative. And they kind of lost their identity, and they went right down the tubes. And believe me, if anybody thinks that we're moving upward through all of this victimization and division, they really need to examine their ability to analyze things.
Do you think that we need our president to be more active, more vocal on this subject? I mean, I know, having grown up in Detroit, you look at that city, but 80% of Detroit children raised in single-parent homes. There's a 49% adult illiteracy rate. This is quoting from the Associated Press piece. Studies from Columbia, Harvard, and Princeton have found a crisis among inner-city black males. Half of 20-something black men unemployed. Single parenthood, the number one indicator of poverty. Do we need our president to focus on this to try to inspire folks to make different choices?
Yes. We need our president, but we need everybody to focus on it because we need to recognize as a society, for every one of those young people that we keep from going down that path of self-destruction, that's one less person we have to be afraid of, protect our families from, one less person we have to pay for in the penal system or the welfare system, one more tax-paying productive member of society who can discover a new energy source.
How do you do it?
We have to place the resources there in the beginning. For instance, you know, with Carson Scholars Fund, we put reading rooms in all over the country, particularly targeting Title I schools, where a lot of the kids come from homes with no books. They go to a school with no library, and they're the ones who wind up dropping out. They never develop that love of reading, which then fosters a much better impression of who you are.
How did you do it? How did
and
you
what
do
you
it
can
with,
do educationally.
With a mom who had a lot going against her, I mean, how did she inspire you to lead a different life?
Well, she made me read books. I didn't want to, but, you know, there are parental discretions which allow you to force children to do things. And interestingly enough, after a while, I didn't mind reading those books at all because we were desperately poor. But between the covers of those books, I could go any place, I could be anybody, I could do anything. And I started reading about people of accomplishment, and it became clear to me that the person who has the most to do with what happens to you is you. It's not the environment. It's not somebody else. And while everybody else around me was sitting there complaining and pointing at other people, I was sitting there and empowering myself by gaining knowledge and understanding of the world around me.
See, I think this is a man who, as I said, is more than just politics. He can really help move a nation back into reconnecting with core principles and core values that built the country. I had mentioned this poem that Megyn Kelly read that was a favorite of Dr. Carson's growing up, in which he drew a lot of inspiration from time to time. Here is that poem.
I heard you say on Fox not long ago that your mother used to make you guys read, used to make you read a poem by Mamie White Miller called Yourself to Blame. You probably know it by heart, but here it is. If things go bad for you and make you a bit ashamed, often you'll find out that you have yourself to blame. Swiftly we ran to mischief and then the bad luck came. Why do we fault others? We have ourselves to blame. Whatever happens to us, here are the words we say. Had it not been for so-and-so, things wouldn't have gone that way. And if you are short of friends, I'll tell you what to do. Make an examination. You'll find the faults in you. You're the captain of your ship, so agree with the same. If you travel downward, you have yourself to blame. What does that mean to you?
I can hear those words. Every time I made an excuse, believe me, I heard that point. You know, it meant that my mother was not going to accept excuses from me or from my brother. So we had to stop looking for excuses. And we had to start looking for solutions. And we learned relatively early in life how to solve problems and how not to go around whining and complaining. And, you know, that has been something that has characterized my life, you know, throughout my professional career. You know, when people have said, you know, this can't be done or no one's ever done this before, you know, instead of saying, oh, okay, well, I guess I can't do that, I started looking for ways to make it work, ways that maybe someone else hasn't thought of. And that's what we need to start doing as a nation. We need to develop, once again, that can-do attitude, as opposed to that what can you do for me attitude. That is destroying our nation. That is destroying the ideal of America. And I particularly feel for those who are the downtrodden in our society, because we have the intellectually elite who sit there and basically try to keep them in that position so they can continue to be the intellectually elite by giving them stuff and making sure, by saying the right things but not doing the right things. This is not useful. And I want people to wake up. Just wake up, please, and don't allow them to pull this sham on you and act like they're your friends.
Hey, Dr. Carson is going to retire in a couple of months, and I so, so hope that he heads back to Detroit and runs for the U.S. Senate. I would love to see someone who grew up in a single-parent home in Detroit end up with a national voice in the nation's capital. There's so much he has to offer this country.